Ladies and gentlemen, dear guests, we are delighted to have you here on this occasion, which is a milestone in the history of the Oriental Collection of the Library and Information Center of the Hungarian Academy of Sciences. We are especially honored to welcome His Excellency Tao Wenlong, representative of the Republic of China, Director General Professor Xu Xianzhen, and Dr. Leo Lin, editor from the National Central Library of Taiwan. And on behalf of our library, Director General István Monok and Deputy Director General Dora Kaili. This very special festive occasion is to celebrate the inauguration of the Taiwan Resource Center for Chinese Studies in the Oriental Collection of our library. This event is, however, not without precedence, since based on the library's publication exchange ties, we have two decades of academic interactions in the field of Chinese studies with the Republic of China. Our first partner in 1992 was the National Science Council Library. The exchange with the National Central Library started 4 years later, and after a brief reactivated recently. With two other partners, the Center for Chinese Studies and the Taiwan Foundation for Democracy, we have a continuous exchange from 2005. We stand here in an iconic part of the Hungarian Academy of Sciences dedicated to serve Hungarian Oriental research as its basic library. Magyars have very special ties with the Orient because the Eastern origin of our nation has been vividly present in the national consciousness. At the same time, Hungarian travelers and scholars who were attracted to the East by our ancient history played an important role in the geographical, ethnographical, and various other descriptions of Asia as well. This is also the topic of our small exhibition, which you will have the opportunity to see later in the conference hall, where we intended to present the documentary evidence of research on Taiwan in different periods. These books are accompanied by a small selection of our old and rare books dealing with the region. We do hope that this small exhibition well exemplifies the Chinese saying, according to which no book can be opened without learning something from it. The new Taiwan Resource Center for Chinese Studies, which is now being inaugurated, holds an initial donation of over 200 books and DVDs published in Taiwan. You can see these scholarly publications on the shelf behind me. All the publications are closely related to the research interests of Hungarian academics of Chinese studies. The publications concentrate on Taiwan's history, religion, culture, literature, society, and politics, as well as on cross-strait relations. As part of the project, the National Science Library will provide the Academy Library's readers with access to some of its unique databases on Taiwan and Chinese studies, and we strive to support the Taiwan Resource Center for Chinese Studies with annual large-scale donations in the future. To commemorate today's ceremony, the Oriental Collection was also presented with two facsimile editions of rare Chinese books from the collections of the National Central Library, namely, an illustrated and annotated edition of the poetry of Su Tongpo, a national treasure of the Republic of China that is more than 800 years old, and the Diamond Sutra, which is the earliest woodblock print book with dual color in the world. These precious books can be admired later in the conference hall. They are both an embodiment of the Chinese proverb, a book holds a house of gold. To encourage the international accessibility of Chinese rare books, the libraries also agreed to collaborate in this field. The Oriental Collection of the Hungarian Academy will provide bibliographical records of its Chinese rare books to the publicly available Union Catalogue of Chinese Rare Books that is hosted by the National Central Library. In the 21st century, when there is an increased emphasis on digital contact and access, this is also a significant step in the cooperation of the two libraries and a good example for sharing knowledge and holdings for the benefit of future generations of scholars and the public at large. Allow me to conclude this short talk again with a quotation of a beautiful Chinese thought: a book is like a garden carried in the pocket. Thanks to the establishment of this resource center, this day we feel to be enriched by several flowering gardens. Now it is my present duty to request Director General Professor Xu Xian-Zeng and Director General Professor Yishtan Morok to unveil the plaque of the Taiwan Resource Center Chinese Studies.
Director General Mono, Director General Zeng, and Dr. Kelly Cheney, ladies and gentlemen. When I attended the opening for the imprint of civilization, the amazing journey of books, exhibition at the National Sichuan Library last October, I was thrilled to see such progress in Hungarian-Taiwan cultural cooperation. It is therefore a great pleasure to see Taiwan's National Central Library following up on that success by collaborating with Hungary's esteemed Academy of Sciences to establish the Taiwan Resources Center for Chinese Study. This resources center, the 11th in Europe and the 23rd in the world, will help link Sinological and the Taiwanese studies in Hungary with those in Taiwan, and help local scholars get access to the vast resources of the National Central Library and other academic institutions in Taiwan. It will serve as a valuable tool and a great opportunity for researchers in our two countries to further their understanding of their specific fields under the umbrella of Chinese studies. Having promoted cultural and educational exchanges between Hungary and Taiwan for so many years, our office is naturally delighted to see such research efforts getting the attention they deserve. Europe has a long tradition of study, sinology, and Taiwan has preserved a corpus of knowledge in this field that has gained appreciation in international academic cycles. Hungary also has strong roots in relevant research, and a great number of people have actually learned the Chinese language over the generations. I believe that we can both benefit from each other's research strengths. As I have said on many occasions, that Taiwan is an ideal place for which to study the Chinese language, as we have preserved the use of the traditional characters. Traditional Chinese characters are more than a writing system. They are a vehicle of cultural and societal evolution. and they are essential to a proper understanding of the classics of Chinese literature and philosophy. Taiwan offers many different types of scholarship and fellowships, and I know Hungarian researchers have also taken up such opportunities to go to Taiwan to conduct research. On that note, I hope this cooperation with the library and the information center of the Academy of Sciences serves as an inspiration for more extensive academic and cultural exchange between Hungary and Taiwan. Thank you very much.
Köszönjük szépen, beszédet, köszönjük. Most pedig szeretném megkérni a Taiwani Nemzeti Könyvtár főigazgató asszonyát, Zheng Shuxian asszonyt, hogy tartsa meg rövid beszédét.
Professor Dr. Isvan Monok, Director General of the Library and Information Center of the Hungarian Academy of Sciences, Representative Tao Wenlong from the Taipei Representative Office in Budapest, Professor Gregory Salat, ladies and gentlemen, greetings. I'm honored and pleased to be here at the Hungarian Academy of Sciences to set up the first Taiwan Resource Center for Chinese Studies in Hungary. I'm especially thankful for the support of Dr. Monok in bringing about this collaborative project. I would also like to thank the staff of the library for their effort in recent days in getting everything ready to establish this Taiwan Resource Center for Chinese Studies. Special thanks go to Deputy Director General Dora Gaini Khalidi and the Head of Department Oriental Collection, Dr. Agnes Kelesini. I would also like to thank Representative Tao Wenlong from the Taipei Representative Office in Budapest for his office assistance in beginning a new chapter in our journey to expand Chinese studies overseas. I would like to welcome all our guests who have come to attend this opening ceremony. Thank you for your attendance. The primary focus of Chinese studies in Hungary has been the vast expanse of territory known as Inner Asia. This began as an effort to understand the ancient historical event of Hungarians. In the 19th century, when Hungarian sinologists began focus on China and its exploration, Chinese scholars also expressed a deep interest in Hungary. These people who are located in Europe, but who are also intricately tied to Asia. This mutual curiosity and inquiry brought about a bi-directional flow of culture. By the beginning of the 20th century, Hungarian Chinese studies had matured significantly. After the Hungarian Academy of Sciences was restructured in 1949, it officially added Oriental Studies as a research department. The Oriental Library, which fell under the jurisdiction of the Oriental Research Center, was established in 1951. It grew quickly under the efforts of renowned Turkish expert, Mr. Laszlo. The Oriental collection in the Academy's library has an amazing collection, making it an important resource in researching the Oriental and the Chinese studies. National Central Library and the Hungarian Academy of Sciences first signed a cooperative memorandum on October 14th, 2016, regarding the database of Union Carol Chinese Rare Books. This was the 74th collaborating institution to join the project. Then on November 11, National Central Library provided a donation of 200 volumes of recent academic books in Taiwan. With this close working relationship, it is pleasure to be able to collaborate with the Hungarian Academy of Sciences once more in a unified effort to promote Chinese studies and Taiwan studies. Establishing a Taiwan Resource Center for Chinese Study at the Hungarian Academy of Sciences is a win-win situation for both the Hungarian Academy of Sciences and the National Central Library. Due to limited space, we are only providing 200 volumes of recent publication from Taiwan, as well as electronic databases. In the future, new books will be added each year. In addition, if researchers here at the Academy lend access to other holdings at the National Central Library, we will provide scanned copies as quickly as possible. We will also work together to hold a Taiwan lecture on Chinese studies at the exhibitions here. And the invitations will also be sent to attend the workshop for international librarians and other events hosted by National Central Library. It's my belief that this Taiwan Resource Center for Chinese Studies will not only provide important academic resources for the researchers here at the Hungarian Academy of Sciences, but also will aid in improving the exchange and the collaboration among the Academy, Hungary, and the various institutions in Taiwan. On this occasion, as a special offer, we would like to present two classical works. The first is a replica of our national treasure that is more than 800 years old. The annotated poetry of Shu Dongpo. Shu Dongpo, one of the most famous literary giants of the Song Dynasty. From 960s to 1127. He was proficient in poetry, verse, calligraphy, and prose. However, he did not have much luck in his official career. He was demoted and banished several times. His painful experiences of banishment and unrealized ambition were the source materials of many of his creations, which has struck a familiar chord with many readers. This anthology of poetry was printed in 1213 and has a total of 21 volumes. From the Ming Dynasty to the present, it has exchanged collectors' hands 12 times. Many scholars and literati have better points, paintings, or annotations in the margins, imbuing it with even more scholarly, literary, and aesthetic value. It is an important text in researching Shu Dongpo's poetry. The second one is the Diamond Sutra. Diamond Sutra. It is one of the Buddhist scriptures that monks and the lay Buddhists chant morning and night. It has been voted as the mother of wisdom in Buddhism. And it's one of the most widely circulated and influential Buddhist sutra. As such, there are many annotations of it from various ages and the Buddhist sects. National Central Library's copies is from 1341 during the Yuan Dynasty. It is a wood broad print book with dual color. There is currently no other copy like it in the world. These two classics are valuable resources for many scholars. I hope that the donation will add to the Hungarian Academy of Sciences Library's collection. Stand as a witness of this historical moment in the cooperation of our two libraries, and pave the way for further cooperative endeavors in the future. Lastly, it's my sincere hope that today's activity goes smoothly and that everyone here will enjoy robust health and great success. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Tehát generál Chen Shuxian, Excellency Tao Enlong, ladies and gentlemen. It is my pleasure to greet you here in the Library and Information Center of the Hungarian Academy of Science. There are legends why Chinese people are interested in Hungarians. This might be because they were afraid of the Huns, or it may be because we share common roots. It is said that the Huns are not just ancestors of Hungarians, but Huns can be ancestors of Chinese people as well. Today, when we came together to celebrate the opening of the Taiwan Research Center for Chinese Studies, it is important not to build on legend, rather on mutual partnership and corporate cooperation. Last October, we signed a memorandum of cooperation on the database of the Union Catalog of Chinese Rare Books between the National Central Library Taiwan and the Library and Information Center of the Hungarian Academy of Science. This means that we share our resources, we make the bibliographic data available, which is a great help for researchers and experts on Chinese studies. Today, we are signing an agreement, which means high quality scholarly resources, primarily in the fields of history, religion, culture, literature, and society. But this connection is not only for our library. It is mainly for the Hungarian Oriental scholars. It would like to say thank you. It is an honor that the Taiwan National Library chose the Library of Hungarian Academy of Science. I can make you sure that you could not have found a better place for the Taiwan Research Center for Chinese Studies. Thank you very much.
Historic responsibility to preserve all national publications. The This is what says the NCL apart from other libraries in Taiwan. In addition to modern publications, special collections are comprised of rare books from Imperial China. The NCL has more than 12,900 sets of rare books, circa 135,000 volumes. The NCL is also active in expanding its digital holdings to meet the needs of the digital age. These digital holdings mainly contain. The NCL is the only library legally stipulated to help research and to promote and guide library development in Taiwan. So its responsibilities also include organizing national events, establishing awards, and conducting different kinds of activities for librarians and the public. The manifestation of the NCL's endeavor in promoting Chinese studies is the establishment of the Center for Chinese Studies, also known as the CCS. Founded in 1981, the CCS's chief mission is to promote Chinese studies by encouraging cooperation and exchange between sinologists in Taiwan and foreign countries. The main tasks that the CCS is responsible for are shown below. Firstly, the CCS maintains collections of domestic and foreign works on Chinese studies. So it is capable of providing a number of subject databases and abundant materials for interested researchers. Secondly, the CCS publishes two highly acclaimed journals. One is the Chinese Studies, which has been valued as a core academic journal in Taiwan's humanities studies. And the other is the e-newsletter for research in Chinese studies, which reports monthly on trends in local and overseas Chinese studies research. Both journals are ranked highly in Taiwan's fields of sinology. Thirdly, since 1989, CCS has offered the research grant for foreign scholars of Chinese studies. By 2016, the research grant had supported over 560 scholars from more than 65 countries. In addition, the CCS is also responsible for the research grant of the Taiwan Fellowship, established by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Taipei government. In order to promote international cooperation and in line with the internationalization of Chinese studies, the NCL has chosen a number of foreign academic institutions and universities where the study of sinology is promoted to set up the TRCCS service points. Taiwan first entered the global spotlight in the 1990s due to the economic development and democratic reform. Successful social transformation has pushed forward academic research into literature, religion, visual culture, and other aspects of Taiwan, leading to a surge in demand for related research. On the basis of Taiwan's recent cultural development and three decades of academic engagement in Chinese studies, the NCL in 2012 initiated the TRCCS project. By establishing the TRCCS, the NCL aims to build a platform for global sinological resource and information to broaden and deepen cultural exchanges between the Chinese and non-Chinese societies, as well as to demonstrate Taiwan's achievements in sinology and Taiwan studies. What our partner institutions benefit from the TRCCS project includes the annual book donation, licensed e-databases, e-databases shared by major institutions in Taiwan, the NCL's collection photocopy services, Taiwan lectures, participation in the academic conferences and workshops organized by the NCL, and joint exhibitions. The NCL will donate 500 to 1,000 volumes of books and audiovisual materials to the TRCCS in the first year. Since the second year, the TRCCS will continue to receive book donations from the NCL. NCL will provide its collection photocopy service to allow partner institutions to quickly learn the new development of Chinese studies in Taiwan. For example, the NCL has provided three titles and 32 volumes of photocopy University of Leipzig and provided image reproduction of ancient texts to Leiden University. For materials without copyright concerns, the NCL will set IP modes to offer the TRCCS to search and use the NCL digital resources. There are 8 main e-databases. National Digital Library of Theses and Dissertations in Taiwan. Index to Taiwan Periodical Literature System. Union Catalog of Rare Books Database. Rare Books Image Search System. Stone Robins Database. Digital Archive of Rare Books. Text image system for books of the Japanese world period. Full text image system for periodicals of the Japanese world period. In addition, the NCL systematically collects a list of links on Chinese study databases shared by main academic institutions in Taiwan, which includes 56 entries of Chinese studies and 74 entries of Taiwan studies. The list will help foreign scholars and experts to expand their research scope. All the links will be sent to our partner institutions and will also be shown on the TRCCS website. Furthermore, one of the TRCCS's implements is to organize academic and professional activities centered on Chinese or Taiwan studies, including seminars, workshops, lectures, etc. In the past years, we have organized several international conferences. SOAS, University of London, Australian National Library, Oriental Institute, the Czech Academy of Sciences, Tunku Abdul Rahman University, Malaysia, Leipzig University, Germany, Oxford University. After the TRCCS is set up, the NCL will organize joint exhibitions with its partner institution. To promote communication with international libraries, the NCL will also organize workshops by inviting professional librarians to Taiwan, beneficially making exchanges of knowledge and practices on both sides. On the part of the partner organizations, they are responsible for dedicating a particular space to house the TRCCS's books and materials with desks and computers for readers, where a plaque with Taiwan Resource Center for Chinese Studies in both local and Chinese languages should be displayed. Assisting the NCL to organize academic activities such as the Taiwan lectures. Displaying information, news, links of the TRCCS on the website. Increase partner institutions' resources on Taiwan and Chinese studies. By the end of 2016, there were 23 TRCCSs established in high-standard education institutions in America, Europe, Russia, Asia, and Oceania. In addition, NCL had donated 19,660 volumes of books and DVDs to these partner institutions. Promote scholarly exchanges between Taiwan and the countries housing the TRCCS. TRCCS's collaborative process has highlighted a strong interest in Chinese studies among non-Chinese communities. Enrich world civilization by increasing an understanding between cultures. Through the TRCCS, the NCL, together with these collaborative institutions, will enrich the content of Chinese studies resources, serve non-Chinese scholars in their research related to Chinese studies, and promote mutual understanding and acceptance between different civilizations and cultures. Through this brief introduction, it is our hope to provide you with some insight to our library, the CCS, and the TRCCS project. We look forward to seeing you.
gentlemen, distinguished guests, good afternoon. I was asked to give a short introduction of Taiwan, of the history and present situation of Taiwan studies in Hungary. This will be very short, not only because we have a very tight schedule, but also because, unfortunately, Taiwan studies is not very developed in Hungary. I'm talking about Taiwan studies, not about Chinese studies. That's another thing, but the research, the study of Taiwan has not a very long tradition, and it did not reach a very high level, I believe, in Hungary, unfortunately. Before the Japanese occupation, from our perspective, Taiwan was on the periphery of the Qing Empire of China, so if any Hungarian would like to study China, then he studied the center of China and not the periphery. So Taiwan was not in the focus of the studies in the 19th century. Many Hungarians interested in Asia, they rather focus on inner Asia and central Asia and maybe China, south of China or Taiwan. Under the Japanese occupation, Taiwan was again on the periphery. It was on the periphery of the Japanese Empire. That means if anybody who wanted to study Japan, the Japanese Empire, he studied the Japanese core territory, the Japanese island, not Taiwan. And after the Second World War, Taiwan became something like an enemy. It became an enemy of our friends, the PRC, because we were also a communist country. And it became a friend of our enemy, the US. So politically, it was basically impossible to do any serious research on Taiwan, either on the history of Taiwan, either in the humanities regarding Taiwan, or the political situation or the economics of Taiwan. So basically, before 1990, we did not know much about Taiwan. Interest was raised after 1919, the change of the system, followed the communism in Hungary, and also the change of the system, democratization in Taiwan. But still now, as far as I know, there's not one scholar, there's not one person, one institution in Hungary that is specialized in Taiwan studies. There are many Chinese experts who do some researches on Taiwan. There are some international relations, international body experts of economies who are interested in Taiwan, but none of them actually specializes in Taiwan. Let's say a few things about the history of what we know, we in Hungary know about Taiwan. The first Hungarian person who actually reached Taiwan was called Moritz Benyovsky. He's very famous in Hungary. He's some kind of traveler, explorer. He fought in a war against Russia on the side of the Polish, and he became a prisoner of war, and he was sent to the other end of the Russian Empire, to Russian East Asia. But there he escaped, he fled. He and his friends actually hijacked a ship on the Russian East Asian seas, and they came back to Europe by the ship. And on their long journey, they touched Japan, they touched Taiwan, Macau, Madagascar, Africa, and they came back to France. And this Moritz Benyovsky wrote a long memoir about his journeys, and in his memoirs we can read that in 1771 he landed on Taiwan at a place what he called Kaliwan Bay. We don't really know what this place is. And he spent 16 days on an expedition in Taiwan. Actually, he got in a fight between Aboriginal tribes. He was fighting with one tribe on the side of another tribe. And he did not realize that much of Taiwan was actually owned by the Chinese Empire, because he went to the shore on a place where the Chinese state was not present. And in his memoirs, he has a short description of Taiwan, and he also wrote a very long letter to the King of France, King Louis of France, which is a proposal how to colonize Taiwan. Actually, he gave the advice to the King of France to make Taiwan a colony. He did not, as I said, he did not realize that it was already Chinese territory, or at least much of Taiwan was Chinese territory. He thought that Taiwan was only inhabited by aboriginal tribes. Anyway, Taiwan, as you all know, did not become a French colony. The first description, the first information that was written by a Hungarian person came from him. This is his fight, taking part in a fight on the shores of Taiwan. This is an illustration from his books at the end, from the end of the 18th century. In the 19th century, quite a few Hungarian travelers went to Asia, to East Asia. Some of them spent a few days in Taiwan, but none of them did really serious research in Taiwan. For example, Lajos Lóczi provided the first Hungarian map of Taiwan. This is the map which is in the collection of this library. This is the first Hungarian language map of Taiwan from the, it was published in the 19th century, in 1886. Under the Japanese occupation, we do not know any Hungarians who actually studied Taiwan in any ways. And the first significant Hungarian community in Taiwan came into existence after 1949. This community was composed of Hungarian missionaries who had worked in mainland China in the 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, after the communists came into power in China. Many of these Hungarian missionaries, they could not come home because Hungary became a communist country as well. So they chose to go to Taiwan. There was about 10, a little bit more than 10 of them, most of them were Jesuits, members of the Society of Jesus. And they spent the rest of their life in Taiwan. Actually, all of them except for one died in Taiwan, and they are buried in Taiwan. The most famous of them was Stephen Yashko, Yayogen in Chinese, who became famous in Taiwan for establishing the first school for the mentally disabled children. Of course, the Jesuits were not scholars of Taiwan, but they had a lot of experiences in Taiwan, but their writings could not be published in Hungary for obvious reasons, for political reasons. So after the change of the government in 1990, some of the memoirs of the Jesuits, as some books about them and some interviews with them were published in Hungarians. These were the first books that dealt with these Jesuits, and those interested in their life in Taiwan and how Taiwan looked like in the 1950s and 1960s were very valuable for them. But these are not scholarly books actually about Taiwan. These are books about or from these Jesuit missionaries. Actually, after 1990s, after 1990, surge of interest could be experienced in Hungary. We had very common experiences with Taiwan. First of all, we were in a transitory stage. Both Hungary and Taiwan, we both became a democracy that used to be a dictatorship, so we had quite common experiences. We also have the experience of trying to be independent, trying to live our life in the shadow of great powers that want to control us. We both had some kind of anti-communist tradition, or at least in Hungary, many people after the communist regime fell, they felt some common feeling with the Taiwanese regime. And the economic success of Taiwan, which most of us have not heard of before, became well known in Hungary. So some studies were started on how Taiwan became so successful. So I think the birth of Taiwan studies in Hungary can be dated to the 1990s. Two fields of researches were established. One is humanities, like classical humanities and political sciences and cultural studies and stuff like that. And the other is economics. The most important person on the field of humanities, on the study of Taiwan from a humanities point of view, is Gyula Jordan, who was a historian, a political scientist. He was not a classical Chinese, classical sinologist, but a historian and political scientist. And he spent his life with studying the 20th century history of China. And he published his very huge book entitled The History of Taiwan in 2005. Actually, that is the only book in Hungary about any kind of, any part of the history of Taiwan. It deals with the history of Taiwan from the ancient times to the present. Actually, at the universities where I study, I teach the history of Taiwan, and I still use this book as a textbook. It's very, it's a textbook of very high quality. And he also wrote a lot of articles about political questions, economic questions of Taiwan. Actually, to honor his name, after his death, the representative office of Taiwan in Hungary established an annual contest called Gyula Jordan Essay Contest for university students. Another person who should be mentioned here, who did a lot to popularize Taiwan studies in Hungary, is János Kubaszek, who's also not a classical sinologist, but a geographer. He's also the director of the Museum of Geography in a small town near Budapest. He also published a book about Taiwan. It's called The Typhoons on the Land of Taiwan, but it's not about typhoons. It's about his experiences, cultural experiences, in Taiwan, and he has a lot of articles, lectures on Taiwan. I think many people who heard of Taiwan from him. The other field of Taiwan studies is economics and politics. This field also came into existence in the 1990s when some Hungarian scholars suddenly discovered the importance of Taiwan and discovered the Taiwanese miracles. Two people can be named here. One is Clara Mesaros, who was a classical Chinese scholar, but later she became an economist, and she also became the ambassador of Hungary to Beijing, to mainland China. But she was one of the first people in Hungary who published long analysis on the economic ties between mainland China and Taiwan, on the importance of Taiwanese investments and Taiwanese knowledge in the development of China, and on this whole economic integration process of Greater China. The other is Ferenc Vanhidi, who's also an economist. He was also among the first who presented economic analysis on the secrets of the Taiwanese miracles in the 1990s. Later, many economists and political scientists started to conduct research on Taiwan. These were not classical sinologists or not Chinese experts. Actually, most of them could not read or speak Chinese, but from an economic point of view or from a political point of view, Taiwan is a rather fashionable topic now. Of course, 90% of what is written on Taiwan is about cross-strait relations and all these geopolitical circumstances, US, China, Taiwan triangle, that are related to Taiwan. Another subfield of present researches on Taiwan is the relations between the European Union and Taiwan, relations between Hungary and Taiwan, basically its economic relations, business relations, and the geopolitical situation in the Taiwan Strait. Nowadays in all East Asia, it's a very fascinating and fashionable topic here. What is missing is humanities. We do not really have people who deal, who study Taiwanese literature, Taiwanese culture, Taiwanese arts, Taiwanese movies, whatever, Taiwanese linguistics, languages, religion, history, archaeology. Some Chinese, China scholars, sinologists actually do conduct research that deal with some aspects of the of Taiwan as a part of their larger studies of China. But for example, we do not have any piece of Taiwanese literature published in Hungarian except for maybe two short stories, two or three. But we don't have a Taiwanese novel. The Taiwanese Hungarian movies here do not show Taiwanese movies, and of course the fact that on the popular level Taiwan is not very well known, it also influences the scholars that they do not choose Taiwanese topics as their field of research. So I think some work has already started. We have a lot of Taiwanese exhibitions and movie festivals and book presentation ceremonies and book exhibitions in recently. These are very good at the beginning, but I think that much of the work is ahead of us. Thank you for your attention.
Köszönjük szépen megtisztelő figyelmünket, és a következő percekben szeretném megkérni önöket, hogy vegyenek részt ez alkalomból a keleti gyűjtemény által készített, a keleti gyűjtemény régi könyves anyagának formózával, formózattörténelmével, kultúrával kapcsolatos idegen nyelvű anyagából készített kiállítás megtekintésében. A kiállítást a keleti gyűjtemény osztályvezető, a Szonya Kerecsény Ágnes vezeti. Kérem, fáradjanak ide a kiállítás helyszínéhez, és közben pedig láthatják, hogy az ajándékcsere történik meg könyvtáraink között. Anyaga szervesen kapcsolódik az előzőekben elhangzott előadás tartalmához, úgyhogy kérem, hogy ilyen szemben nézzék a
rajzot.
Mindkét könyvtár régi könyves anyagából készült hasonmás kiadványokat jelentik, amelyeket természetesen a keleti gyűjteményben megtekinthetnek, várjuk önöket szeretettel olvasóként is.
El is olvashatja.
Köszönjük szépen!
Group photo? Group photo? Yeah. 团体照, group photo. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.